This is the true story of a New York City boy with big town hopes and small neighborhood dreams of becoming BFFs with the Real Housewives and other Bravo celebrities. Then, one day, that dream actually came true. Let me take you behind the velvet rope. Hey guys, this is David. Welcome back behind the velvet rope. Let's just get right into it today because we are joined from the Sunshine State, Florida, by our two friends, Tan Mom and Adam Barta. Hello.
Hi guys, how are you all doing?
How are you? What are you guys up to? Now you guys are both in Florida.
But the good thing about Florida is, right, Patricia, like, we make our own backyard paradise here. Like, we have our pools, we have our backyards.
Exactly. Adam is totally correct on all of that. I just love the, what Adam does is he makes every day an inspiration just to get through this whole Corona thing. We talk every day and get through this together all the time.
I will say about Patricia, just to like start off, like she's absolutely right. I call her my therapist now because we have like these anxiety problems. So we call each other like 10 times a day and we're like, I just had a panic attack. I'm anxious about this. Oh my God, Rich is doing this. So it's like, we literally are like each other's support system. Like I feel like mentally with this.
Definitely. Mentally, I think we're getting through this together. And I don't think I could get without another day, every day without Adam. Seriously.
Same, yeah. You're my go-to girl. Now I call for like, yeah, for sure.
Like how close do you guys live to each other in Florida?
Unfortunately, too far. Two and a half hours, three hours. Right.
Oh,
now.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So the other side of the state, we're literally like opposite sides of the state.
And you guys are both originally from this area. You, Adam, are you originally from the Bronx?
Born and raised.
I was going to say, no, we're from New York. Yeah, we're, it's so funny, you know, this has been over 10 years that we've known each other. And ironically, we became best friends. And I'm just so happy about it all. What makes it so special is that Adam has so many things in common with me every single day about something that we can, you know, communicate about and make things just insane when it comes to show business or just life in general.
Where did you guys meet? Like, how did you meet? Because you wouldn't expect this to be a best friend pair.
So we met actually at a diner. Do you remember the name of the diner, Patricia? What was the name of it? It was Zinburger.
Zinburger.
In Englewood or some town in New Jersey. We met for dinner, and our manager, Gina, at the time, was like, Gina Rodriguez, love her, was like, do you want to meet and do a song with the Tan Mom? Because I had just done the song with the Octo Mom. So I'm like, okay, sure. She sounds like a fun person. So I met Patricia and she was just off the wall. And I remember telling Gina, I was like, I don't think I can work with this woman. I was like, she's too much for me, like too high energy, like too crazy, too much. And it was just, it's so funny because like, I think back to that first night and I'm like, wow, here we are like 8, 9, 10 years later. And it's like, we're best friends. It's like, it's exactly. Just crazy how it worked out.
No, and I went outside singing Diamonds in the Sky, and Adam is he's the producer of all music, and I'm the comedy act, and Diamonds in the Sky. I didn't know Adam, you know, all that well, but I was attracted to him from the get-go, and
that's true.
Attracted to him.
I was going to say, attracted how?
I would... In every way, like...
She would come on to me. She was, like, heavily coming on to me when we first met.
I was kissing him on his neck.
I think there's a video of that somewhere. Maybe send it to you.
You know, I don't know. It's all fun. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, it worked out. And I just want to correct one thing, because he's going to kill me. Our producer is Roman Electropoint. So, like, we always say our producer that I'm the producer. I'm, like, the producer in that I produce the projects and, like, I write them and I work with Patricia. But, like, our amazingly talented, super crazy talented producer,
my God,
Electropoint. We want to make sure that he gets credit for that.
So you write the actual lyrics, right, Adam? And the music, and Electropoint produces.
Well, so I write the lyrics and then he creates the track. He'll do everything musical. Like he'll create the music and then I'll write the lyrics, come up with the hook, come up with the idea for the song, and then we'll go in and record, and he'll put all the bells and whistles and make us sound like absolutely amazing.
That's what he does. He specializes in that. But Free to Be Me, me and Adam went to town on that, literally solo, with Electric Point music in the background. Oh my God, yeah. But I mean, that song went global, kind of, in, you know, every aspect.
How much money did we make off that, Patricia?
Absolutely nothing, and it went everywhere.
Okay, hold that thought for 30 seconds, because I got a lot of questions about so many things that you both just said.
Okay.
All right, so first of all, Adam, let's just back up for 30 seconds. So these songs, like, how did you get into writing these songs for all of these people?
Well, it started with Gina back with Octomom, like, in 2012, and then it was Tan Mom, and it was Teen Mom, and then it was all these moms. And I'm still working with moms, I guess, you get like Mama June and all these great people. I guess I have a thing for moms, but, you know, these days it's kind of organic. Like when I work with people on projects, like either I'll know them or they'll come to me, or it's a friend of yours, David, a friend of ours, like housewife or this person or that person. So it's kind of like, I don't really seek them out anymore. It's kind of like they fall into my lap and I'll be like, all right, that'd be cool. Let's do it.
And the words just come to you?
Yeah, it's sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. What's funny, I'll give you this about Free to Be Me. When we went in there, I remember just making that Free to Be Patricia Marie on the spot, like literally just started singing that. And that
was so cool that way, yes.
It just came out, yeah. So like I went in with the idea of what I wanted to sing about, but it just kind of transformed in the studio. And you never know until you're in that studio what you're going to come up with, I think. And that's the magic of it. It's kind of so unpredictable, but it becomes magic, like I said.
And that's the thing. For people who don't know, Tan Mom's real name is Patricia Marie.
Exactly. Correct. And that became a hit with Howard Stern.
Oh, yes.
Howard Stern took it over to a different degree. Raved about it. His wife, Beth, was just like, oh my God, if he doesn't stop singing Patricia Marie, They're married and everything, you know, singing Patricia Marie was just, it went over the top. That song went over the top. Unfortunately, we didn't get paid for it, but yeah.
Was that your biggest song? Is that your biggest song to date, Adam? Or is there a bigger one in this genre?
Well, what's the metric, I guess, by which you're considering it big? Is it money? Is it exposure? Is it success of the song? Is it Billboard charts? Like, what would you consider big?
Well, apparently it's not the money.
Not the money. Yeah, it's not the money. I mean, you know, to be fair, though, like a lot of my songs are not money makers. I'm an artist that doesn't make money off iTunes and stuff like that because none of the stuff I've done has gotten me wealth. It's more in licensing and more in like the back end, other opportunities that these songs kind of open up for us, I think.
Okay. You've also worked with like Honey Boo Boo, Margaret Josephs. I see you worked with Lisa Lampanelli and Margaret Cho.
Yeah, Margaret Cho and I released a song called See You Next Tuesday, which was so much fun back in like 2014, I think. And it was kind of a flop, which was kind of disappointing because it just really didn't take off. Now, I think it was also with the marketing. I think we didn't have a marketing team. We didn't have a record label. We didn't have anybody doing this for us. So I think that's also what happened. I think it was a really funny song, hysterical. The same thing with Margaret Josephs. The video was so sweet. It was one of my most emotional things I've ever done. It was about my mom. So I put my heart and soul into it and it really kind of flopped too. But again, I think it's really just a matter of like luck sometimes. It's like, you know, you have all the right pieces and the celebrities and everything. And it just kind of, you know, David, something just blows up and it's like, wow, that's the story, you know?
You could never really predict. Like I'll put out shows on this podcast where like the guest is not even someone necessarily famous. Like nobody even knows who my guest is.
And you don't know.
It gets such high ratings. And I'm like, I never would have predicted this is like one of my highest rated shows. You don't even understand why. You can't even understand it.
It's a magic bullet. You don't know what it is until it happens, you know?
It's shocking. So putting your story aside for a second, Adam. So Tan Mom, you really were like living your own life. Like you were really thrust into the public eye in 2012. This is where it really all started for you. After you brought your 5-year-old daughter to a tanning salon and then you were arrested for child endangerment.
Exactly. And the bottom line is, to backtrack to that whole situation, I done modeling and so forth prior to this whole escapade of Tan Mom or shows or something, you know, runway. And then, yes, I was put right in there, and then I was put right in jail. And I spent 7 days, when you see those pictures, in jail for something I would never in my wild. The owner of the salon came right out, and he's like, she did not do anything. But it went, you know, the cops just escalated the situation just to what, and then the paparazzi were living in my trees. Adam knows, I'd call him, and they were in my trees. I couldn't go to a store, a single, for over a year, and it cost me over $150,000 for something that I never did.
Just, you know, in terms of my family,
in the embarrassment at the schools with my sons. Let's bring your mom up on the computer. I mean, imagine being a student and it's an escapade.
Now, Patricia, I want to bring this up, David, because I think this is important for you to say, Patricia. Now, you were looking into suing the state of New Jersey for all of this at some point. Now, are you still interested in pursuing that? We're just trying to find a lawyer that can kind of grapple with
yes.
the case.
No, as we discussed, that and everything else that has been done. And in length, Adam, the upsetment that the attorney and all the files and everything, right, that they can bring up from day one, what transpired, that I was innocent and proclaimed innocent, that I should be able to, you know, win a lawsuit.
Yeah, you want punitive damages for all of the pain and suffering. And like you said, all of the income that you lost, all of the, like, derogatory stuff that was put
right,
out about
exactly.
you that it wasn't true. So you are looking, if any of your listeners, David, are lawyers and they would like to get in touch with Patricia, she's actively looking for a lawyer to pursue this legally.
And I guess it's still on the statute of limitations, I guess, from 2012.
We looked it up, and I think it is, I believe it is, because it extended a period of years. I mean, it's technically still going on. So if you think about it that way, the injustice kind of happened a long time ago, but you know, I don't know. And that's kind of why I think she needs a lawyer to kind of connect the dots.
But there's always an attorney that would pick up a story like this that was so insane. I mean, it went global. It went to Japan. I mean, it went around the world. And whenever me and Adam did our first songs, it was everywhere. I mean, it was just incredible that so many people realized who we were just from being in New York or Long Island, whatever, New Jersey, wherever we lived. I mean, we just went, you know, insane, right, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, we were everywhere. I mean, the first few songs, I think, went on.
And they weren't even good.
And they were, well, yeah, I mean, and that's the kind of thing, too, is, like, people know, like, I call it train wreck pop. That's kind of what we do. It's kind of like a train wreck. But it's good. Like, Free to Be Me is the evolution of that to, like, be a song that's an earworm that gets stuck in your
right.
head. Yes, it's not Taylor Swift. It's not Selena Gomez. It's not Lady Gaga. We're not – I think that's the disconnect with a lot of people, is they think that we're trying to make this be, like, the next Miley Cyrus. We know it's
no.
comedy. We know it's a train wreck. And that's what's funny about it, is it sounds catchy and funny and singy, but look who's singing it. It's Tan Mom doing it. It's me producing – you know, produce. So it's kind of like, that's the joke. And I think,
but the,
like,
best the part of it all, right, Adam, is that Howard loves us. And
yes,
that he gets so
it.
Ecstatic whenever
they
we do something.
That's what Howard and his whole staff, Gary Delabate,
yes.
Abba Bowie, as most people know him, said recently on the wrap-up show. He was like, I love the fact that Adam did everything he could. He works at how he can to get famous. And the way he got famous is by doing songs with Tan Mom. He's like, I think that's brilliant. And I was like, thank you, Gary, for getting it. Like, he gets it. And everyone
exactly.
over there stands and they get it. So that's why we love the Stern Show much. Stern Show so much.
We're going to talk about the Stern Show. I totally get it. I get it.
I
like
see,
you're,
yeah.
you're not trying to be the next Justin Bieber,
right?
No, not at all.
It's listen. I mean, and it's not the same thing. But like, you look at like a Weird Al Yankovic, which is not right.
right?
Like,
it is the same thing. That's right.
You know what?
That's it.
If I could, right? You know what people finally realized is that Adam is the producer or I should say the songwriter, right. producer, right. yes, forget that, producer as well, and that I become a comedy with a starlight because people like to, or are attracted to me, and then we just go with that. I mean, people go insane over us, and I think it's really, really cool, and it's become a little something more different, not proper English, but it's different today than it was when it all first started, right, Adam? Like,
yeah, it's different. Yeah, well, it's more, I think people get it much more now too, because when we first started,
oh, it used to be Tan Mom and it became Patricia Marie. That's the difference. Okay.
Yeah, that's when it sort of switched, and I think that's when you became more likable, right. too, because it was less polarizing. When it first came out, it was like, why is this woman who was just accused of this crime? And at this point, remember, in 2013, people didn't know you didn't do it at that point. They still thought you did the crime. So, like, why is this horrible woman who brought her daughter tanning? Why is she doing music now and doing all this stuff? Who is she? But I think over time, you got exonerated. People understood more, okay, fine. She's going to roll with it. She's taking lemons and making lemonade. And now she just does this stupid, fun music that we love to sing. And it's like, yes. you become more of this lovable character versus this polarizing figure that nobody wanted to, like, touch or talk about.
That's true.
Exactly.
I mean, were you shocked when you just, like, I mean, you woke up one day, went to a tanning salon, the next thing you know, you're in jail, and then, like, you become, like, infamous overnight. Like, were you just shocked that this was your life?
One thing that I have to emphasize is the state of mind I was in when I was in handcuffs. I got a phone call, and the phone call was from my husband, and he said, Anna is, you know, she was accused of being tanned to my daughter. She was just a little girl. She was 8 years old. And then, like, minutes later, my daughter rushes home, takes me to the police station, and minutes later, I'm being arrested for tanning my daughter. When, in the name of Jiminy Cricket, as you well know, that I never did anything to her, nor would I. When you go into the tanning booth, it's there's this much shields above you, and we all my girlfriends and everybody would hang out, and then I'm arrested. I spent 7 days in jail with murderers, and I'm literally, and I was just like, well, when I got out of there, you see the courtroom pictures. I was devastated.
Were you, like, scared? I mean, were you scared in jail?
I was scared, and I don't even know how to say this. There was people, like, fooling around in the cell. There were five people in the cell, and I'm just sitting there, and there was a psychiatrist that walked by. He goes, what the hell are you doing in here? And I go, quite frankly, I have no idea.
Did anyone try to...
You just don't understand. And then they brought food to me, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to eat like your dog meat. So I tossed it through the cell, and then everyone got mad that I did that. And I'm like, okay, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm in a prison. I'm used to the high standard of life. And the whole situation was so pathetic. And then couldn't go shopping, couldn't do this, couldn't do that, whatever.
Well, 7 days is a long time. I mean, were you scared of getting, like, roughed up when you were in this cell and, you know, not participating?
Was I scared of what?
Like, getting roughed up, like, getting beat up.
Oh, there was a chick that went by that, when I threw the food, wanted to kick my chicken soup. You know what I'm saying?
And oh, I'm know, like, what you're saying, yes.
Yeah, soup and the whole freaking thing. And they're like, what are you doing in here? And all I kept saying is, I have no clue.
Did you get proposition? Like, did they want you to join in this fooling around?
Join in, hang out. I go, this is, and then I try to call a guard. And the whole thing was so preposterous. You know, just to be in a situation like that. And then I called my mommy, and I'm like, Mommy, get me the hell out of here.
I would imagine. And then you get out, and what? As soon as you get out, that's it? There's 8 trillion paparazzi?
Now, there are claws all over my home, in trees, coming through my windows. Couldn't go out. Couldn't go to Starbucks. Couldn't go hang out with my family. It went on for a year for something I didn't do.
Well, yeah, like, I don't know where I was in 2012, but I remember hearing about this, you know? So, I mean, it's wherever I was, I...
Where were you, David?
Where was I, Adam?
You were filming, remember Reality Check?
Oh, Kim God.
G and Carrie Schwartz. We filmed a reality TV show pilot that never aired with Kim G, Michael Lohan, and someone from the Jersey Shore who I can't stand, if you remember, just to throw that out there.
You don't want to say her name?
Well, I mean, everyone knows it's Angelina, but but we did do that pilot, so.
That was in 2012. Yeah, see, I mean, I talk on the show all the time. I mention all the reality shows that I've been in the mix for that never went anywhere, and people are like, what?
I know.
Like, people, I say this all the time. People think they get a call like, oh, my God, I'm going to be on this show, and I'm like, well, what do you mean? They're like, the producer said they love me. I'm like, oh, sweetie.
Until it airs, and you're not on the show until it's aired and there's been a review written about it. That's when you've been on the show. Otherwise, you can still get cut out. Look,
that's what I say.
You know what's great is when Howard kicked in into this whole mix, and that he just took over this whole situation. Howard Stern, and
we're
going to
talk.
That?
I hold that for 2 seconds because I'm a
David. Can I drop a blind item that I'm not going to say the name because I don't even want to get in trouble for saying this, but you can run with it however you want. Maybe you can research and figure it out. So I recently heard, speaking of getting sent home, they started to film Drag Race, the season 13 of RuPaul's Drag Race. I heard, now everyone knows that watched season 12, if you know Sherry Pie, she was accused of catfishing. They literally edited her out the whole season. So apparently there was a queen this season that got cast on the show. They sent her home the first day of filming because they found out she catfished people and she was disqualified from the show before she even filmed it. Oh, imagine getting cast on the show, flying out to LA, the first day you walk into the workroom and right as you're about to go in, they're like, sorry, you gotta go home. We just found out you catfished somebody. Bye-bye.
I say the same thing to people all the time. I'm like, I don't care if you film it. I don't care if you have a salary in your bank. I mean, take the money until it airs. And even then, it needs to be a hit. There needs to be a review. And you kind of need a second season. And then let's talk about your new life as a reality star and how you're going to be rich and retire. I need at least one season in the can first.
Yes, you need it. Yeah, I need a paycheck and a season.
Yeah. So when all of this was happening in 2012, like, did you guys meet at that point? Like, when did the two of you meet? I would imagine it was after this happened, right? Because otherwise, why would Gina, your agent, have introduced you guys? Like,
met at the restaurant.
Yeah. Was that, like, right after this happened? Like, when was that? Or was it, like, years later?
No. It was a couple, like, months, right, Adam? Like, 2 months?
Oh, God.
Like, I'm just curious.
Was it 2012 or 20? I think it was 2013. It was May of 2013, I think. Pretty sure.
I thought we met like really instantly, like kind of. With all the mayhem going on, maybe Adam's right. Maybe it might have been a little longer. But you know what? The bottom line is we met. It was, I just couldn't take another second. And I'm like, I'm free to be mean. That's all I kept doing. And poor Adam. And we just became best friends after this. And it's just insane because how it escalated from being in a jail cell. I'm in a jail cell with five girls. Well, whatever you want to call them. And I'm like, oh, my God. And the psychiatrist that goes around to give pills, he goes, what are you doing? I know I said this already, but what was I doing in here? You know, that's the emphasis of it all, you know, complete insanity. And then you're going to give me a dead hot dog. And I just, I get like a headache talk.
You should have written a song. I mean, not to make you relive your pain, but Adam, you should write a song about this jail experience. I mean, I have friends that have been in jail. Listen, I have a weird thing with jail. Like I think it's, I don't care if you're there for 5 hours, like it's badass.
Oh, I couldn't hear that.
I wouldn't want to be in jail. I wouldn't want to be there. I would last probably an hour, and then I would probably cry to myself to.
You can't even deal with a hospital. Forget a jail.
Oh, I can't even deal with traffic at line waiting at Starbucks. So I'm very high maintenance. Like,
I'm not sure jail would be good for you, Adam. I don't know.
not good at all.
I don't know. So now, so the first song you guys wrote together was this Free to Be? Or would you do
No. We did like Two is Free.
Mom. Yeah, the first song we did was Mom, which I actually wasn't featured on. I just wrote the song, but I was in the video. And with that, how we got screwed was we put it out with TMZ. I think they had broke it or whatever. But somebody took it off TMZ and posted it on YouTube. It got like a million views on YouTube off of TMZ. They took it down. But guess what? We got no money and no views credited to our account because other people stole the video. So basically, like, it's Tan Mom was a huge hit. We made no money off the sales because nobody was really buying the song. It wasn't really that type of song. It was more of a viral song. And all the money from it being viral was stolen from us. So we basically lost, and by stolen by people pirating the video and just claiming it as their own. So it was really unfair, kind of like, I think that song, when it came out, that we just kind of got screwed on it.
And then
but everyone
learned
on the radio loved it. And they would call and do videotapes of them all singing the song of us. And we got, again, Adam, you know, said we got nothing out of it. I mean, we just, nothing.
Well, now that you mentioned that, I like remember that song too. It's all coming back to me here, right on the air.
Yeah, and everyone's in the car and they're swaying back and forth, singing the song, loving it. And, you know, just one example, but they're unbelievable how many people love the music Adam produced and the comedy that we produced together, and then you make no money. It's just unrealistic.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And when, okay, so talk to me about the God, because we have a God amongst us named Howard Stern. Talk to me about how now this gets to Howard Stern. Was it Tan Mom or was it Free to Be? Like, how does Howard get involved?
Well, we started in 2013.
Yeah, I was just going to,
actually,
yeah.
I think, ironically, I came up on my time hop. I posted it. Our first appearance on the Stern Show was exactly 7 years ago yesterday, I think, if time hop is accurate. And Gina had booked us. Gina had us booked on Stern. And Howard was already kind of in love with the story of Tan Mom because it was so up his alley. It was, like, very much in his zone. And he was fascinated, I think, with the whole backstory of her. When she came on, she was a slam dunk, like, home run guest. Everybody loved her. I was on. They loved me. So it kind of, like, set this tone for, like, it was really, I mean, it's still played, I think, as one of, like, the classic Stern episodes that they still play to this day.
Were you guys on separately before that, or this was your... This was the
oh,
first
no, that
time
was
for
our first appearance.
Yeah.
But it went head over heels. And we were on so many times, and it became, Howard had written it, me, in his book as well. And it's unbelievable that I'm in his book. And several people got a little upset or whatever. But Howard just reached out to us, and me, I went to his 60th birthday party. Oh, God, that was a slam dunk. And, yeah.
Okay, so much. Oh, my God. So who got upset that you were in the book?
I need to talk to you guys about Apostrophe. It's a prescription skincare company for people that are ready to take their acne seriously. Now, here's the thing. You guys know prescription acne treatment really works, but it's hard to get. You have to take time off work, go see a doctor, sit in line at the pharmacy and wait for your medications. Not anymore. Apostrophe makes it easy to see a board-certified dermatologist online. You get treated immediately and your medications are delivered to your home. All you have to do is fill out their online questionnaire about your skin concerns and medical history. Then you snap a few selfies, how fun is that? And your dermatologist will get back to you with a customized treatment plan tailored just for you. It treats acne, but Apostrophe does a lot more than just that. They also can help you with your other skincare goals, like reducing redness, wrinkles, and even dark spots. I filled out the survey. Of course, I was concerned with wrinkles, so that's why I went on, filled out the survey. Literally, somebody got in touch with me so quickly. The medicine arrived right to my front door. I've already started using it. It's just as simple as that, and you don't even have to leave your home. Listen, you get $15 off your first visit with a board-certified dermatologist at apostrophe.com/velvet. So go to apostrophe.com/velvet and use the code VELVET. This code is only available to all of you who are listening to this podcast. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/velvet and click begin visit. Then use the code VELVET at sign up and you get $15 off your dermatology visit. That's apostrophe.com/velvet. Use the code VELVET to get your dermatology visit for $15 off. It really is so easy. I'm so glad I found Apostrophe. It's for acne, it's for wrinkles, it's for dark spots, really any of your skincare goals. That's apostrophe.com/velvet. Use the code VELVET at checkout and you get $15 off.
People get upset if you're not mentioned and I'm just me. I'm, you know, Tam, I mean, you're going to get a little like frazzled. I don't know how to explain that. I don't think it was overwhelming to death situation, but the bottom line is that, yeah, I was mentioned a couple times and that's it.
And certain people weren't, I guess.
Yeah.
And Adam, right, why are you smiling, Adam?
Well, I think she doesn't want to say who, but it's kind of like, so if you think of the Stern Show itself, like all the characters and the people that are on there, it's kind of like
SpongeBob.
SpongeBob. Okay. I was going to say
I don't even, okay.
Like a sorority or a fraternity where it's like, we're all like brothers and sisters and we all are part of the same amazing show, but it's like, it gets competitive. And I feel like there are people that, well, right. I mean, look, it's one of the biggest shows in the world, radio program. So who wouldn't want to be featured on that show as much as possible? So I think you get other characters, like particularly with Patricia, other Whackpackers that,
the Whackpackers. Yeah, that's it.
Featured and talked about, and it's like, it's kind of like a little bit of like sibling rivalry where they're, you know, they're like jealous of each other. So I think that's kind of where she's talking about. People were kind of jealous that she was mentioned in the book and they necessarily weren't.
That makes sense. Listen, Howard Stern is like the original Andy Cohn, but more with like a Whackpack instead of Housewives.
Right. That's exactly it. Yeah.
I mean,
no, I'm not a part of the Whackpack. That's what makes me different.
You're on your own.
Yeah.
Which is
good.
I'm
on my own because I reached out and have done like things with Adam where everyone sits around and just gets invited maybe to something. Me and Adam have done, he's produced and we've done different things and segments and so forth that are just, I'm not a Whackpacker. I don't want to say fresh words to any degree, but I'm not a part of what they are.
You can say any fresh words that you want here. This is, we like allow everything here behind the velvet rope. Here's my question though. So like when you guys got this call, I guess from Gina, like, did you almost like drop dead? Like I would drop dead if someone called me and invited me on the Howard Stern
Show. Whatsoever.
Well, I didn't, I was really nervous. And after it happened that very first time, I remember I cried in the green room. I was so overwhelmed with happiness. I was like, I can't believe this happened. Like it was basically like one of my dreams just came true. It was like, you know, as this teenager watching Howard Stern all these years growing up and listening, you know, in the car with all your friends. And now I was actually on the show. Howard liked me. It was a smash. It was very surreal and very, it was just overwhelmingly happy. Like I was just so happy. Ooh, it's storming here. I don't know if you just heard that. Overwhelmingly just happy and just, I just cried.
Okay, so let's get into some details, like small details. So now this was where he is now at Sirius, the same Sirius space in New York. Like, you get there and what happens? Like, does Howard have his own floor? Is it like a whole, I mean, it's a big building. Like, how does it work? Like these little details.
Go in through the front door.
Yes.
And it depends on the holidays. They have, it's all decorated. It's humongous. And then you go into the elevator escorted, of course.
By Ronnie. You should Ronnie.
Yeah. Like Shuley, McShuley. I call him McShuley. Yeah. Basically McShuley or Sal, it all depends on what's going on with these guys. So then you go upstairs on the elevator, it's on the 36th floor, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then once you get up there, you go, you get your own room. I had my own tan mom room. And then you just kick it back and wait for Howard to have the TV screen humongous, and then you just sit there and watch the show until you get called. It's so much fun. You have coffee, appetizers. It all depends what mood they're in, you know, I'm in. And then, like, they will get you lunch, and then you do a lot of recordings. That's what I did afterwards. You know, and holiday stuff, and just so much fun.
There's a step in between I think you missed. So basically, when you go up to the 36th floor, the whole floor is Sirius. So when you walk out of the elevator, you make a right, and the whole floor, actually two floors, I think, are Sirius. So it's this gigantic room. And if you've ever seen a Sirius space, there's like a steps, I think. There's giant billboards. It says, welcome, whoever. And then Howard has his own wing. Studio is all, so when you go in the front door, you make a right. And once you make a right, that whole wing is like the Stern Show, and they take you in what they call pre-screening room, where you kind of, they pat you down, they check you for weapons and everything. Remember, they make you sign papers. Basically, like, it's the pre-screen. So then when you go in the actual green room, you can be taped and videotaped with no problem.
And obviously, Howard has
the whole signing and green screen, you know, like, we do that afterwards, but all I'm saying is that you don't go through that whole process every time after they meet you. Mm-hmm. It's just exciting, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and is it like if you walk around, I mean, she may not have been there at the time, but like Jenny McCarthy, like you just walk around.
Yeah, bodyguards. They have, you know, Ronnie and everybody.
Now, okay, so it's your time, you get called. I mean, nobody comes in the room before. It's not like Howard came in and he's like, welcome. No. What was, so you walk in and it's time to
actually
record.
Wait, I'm David, can I interrupt you? I just wanted to bring up Jenny McCarthy since you said her name, and Patricia's on this, so I think it's relevant for this story. So Jenny McCarthy, actually, when our first song came out, It's Tan Mom, she featured it on her VH1, her very short-lived VH1 show, and I had found out that she was going to be talking about it and featuring it. So I made my whole family watch, including my mom. I was like, guess what? Jenny McCarthy's going to be talking about me and my song with Patricia. You got to watch this. So I'm watching the show, and Jenny starts the segment. Nelly, who is a rapper on her show as well, that apparently, you know, whatever. But he, hey, Nelly. And so Jenny McCarthy brings up a picture of me and Tan Mom. And they're like, do you guys want to know who ruined music forever, Nelly? And I'm like, oh, boy. And now my mom's watching this and everything. She brings up my photo and says, this is the man that produced Tan Mom's single. He single-handedly ruined music. And she had her whole audience boo me. And Nelly made some stupid comment. The man that was a fucking Band-Aid on his face had the nerve to talk about my hair, called my hair horrible or whatever. And my mom started crying hysterical. She was like, this is the first time she'd really seen celebrities talking about me in this fashion. So I was like, that was just really mean and really mean-spirited. And I hope Jenny McCarthy finds out about that one day to know that she made my mom cry, because that was not cool. And I used to be a big fan of Jenny McCarthy, and I have no respect for her after that. So,
what was the name of this VH1 show? I can't even remember what it was.
I don't even. It was Jenny McCarthy's VH1 show. I have no idea. It was like a talk show, a failed talk show.
And you never ran into her after that?
I did. I mean, I don't even think, I think she was so oblivious and so famous, she didn't even think that there was a real person that she was talking about. It was just like, you know, so it was like she never responded, but she never even probably knew that I had a response. So
Jenny McCarthy owes you an apology, Adam.
She sure does.
Jenny McCarthy?
Well, she's married to, she's married to Donnie Wahlberg, so I'll start there. That's a good place to start.
No, I mean, I don't even know who she is, so I wouldn't get myself wrapped up in anyone, for that matter. I mean,
I wasn't upset. The only thing that bothered me was that my mom got upset over it. That's what pissed me off about
exactly.
It. Exactly. It's fine. You can say whatever you want about me. I don't care. But when you start making my mom cry, that the gloves are off. Like, then that's enough, you know?
Yeah. Definitely.
That's not appropriate. So when you guys went in and then you are sitting and you're ready to record, like, is everyone in there except Howard, or you walk in and Howard's just, he's behind a glass?
No, you go inside and they open the doors, and then you go into where Howard sits. Oh my God. And then the first time I ever went inside, it's just all pitch black. And then you sit there with some beaming lights, whatever. And Robin in the earlier days is way above you. Like, I'm like, she was in the sky again. Okay, diamonds in the sky, whatever. So, but she's up there and talking with this voice, right, Adam?
The voice of God, yeah.
Remember, and then they built her a booth and whatever.
When this is when she had cancer. That's when she had her cancer, right. And she was out, I think, for a year or two up from the show. She was doing it remotely.
Right. But it was just unbelievable being in the studio with Howard. And he's got to be one of the nicest guys I've ever met. He's so outgoing and kind, vigilant.
Agreed.
And just really opens his heart in his studio to you. Even though you might not know all the lyrics to a song, he'll still let you play along. Right?
Are you saying that you forget the lyrics sometimes, Tan Mom?
Totally.
it's fine. It happens. That's what you have Adam for, right?
Exactly.
So like, did Howard ever come over, or like Robin? I mean, I'm
Oh yeah, no, he's come over. We've taken pictures. We've done, oh my God, Family Feud.
Yeah, well, we won Family Feud. Robin, I gave Robin a hug. Yeah.
Oh, wow. How many times have you guys like approximately been on the Stern show?
In person, like on the show? Do you count Colin as being on or just like in the studio?
Both. I think calling on is the same. I mean, no one's asking me to call in.
Numerous.
Yeah, I think she might count. Like, in the I don't know. Like,
this is almost what, 10 years, right, Adam?
What?
This is like 10 years, right, Adam?
Yeah,
eight
I would
years,
say like,
9 years?
Yeah, like, yeah, about 9 years for you, maybe like 8 or 7 for me. I think probably like 100 times at the least for you. You've probably called in or been on or like done something with them. In some capacity, like at least 100 shows, I want to say that number, maybe more.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, and I don't know how old Howard is now, but when was this 60th birthday party?
I went to his 60th birthday party. He's going to be 70 soon. You know what I love about him?
Why?
Is that he takes care of himself. And yes. And when the doctor told him, you know, he just was celebrating with Beth or what have you. Just little things he does I love is that don't drink. And he just cut it out. And I just love him for that. You know, their thing was wine, what have you, and whatever. But
the doctor told him not to drink.
That he just moves on. He took a platform because JD and everyone else is hammered off their chicken soup right now. Not soup plucking, but like soup. You know what I mean? And they just go insane with their cocktails because they're in Corona and they have this humongous expression to build this humongous ugly beard. And I shouldn't probably be saying this, but and then cocktail all day and night. So
I think there's a lot of people cocktailing all day and night in Corona. I would agree with that. I'm the opposite. I've proven to myself that I'm not an alcoholic because I wasn't so sure before. But I've realized that I am just a social girl and I like to drink when I'm out. But like at home, I haven't been drinking. I've been like stone cold sober except for when I've been going out.
You look great, by the way, David. Has anyone told you that you look like Brian Austin Green?
A ton of people. Really.
I mean, I'm seeing it much more now, like on camera. You just look really good. Like I got the Corona's doing you well, I guess, because I haven't seen you in a while.
No,
but really? Yeah, you look great.
When I was young, like
how old are you?
Well, wait, do you know that that's the number one person that I get that people tell me I look like Brian Austin Green? And I will take that any day, all day. It's just because I don't have glasses on. That's what it is. But everyone thinks that I look so good in Corona. It's just because I've gained weight. Like none of my pants fit. So I guess.
Oh, I mean, I like guys with low meat on their bones. So sure, that makes sense.
Well, here it is. There's. I literally don't have any pants that fit. Like I'm not. This is real.
I love it.
Wait, let's talk about Howard's 60th birthday for a minute. So. Who was there? Like anyone famous?
Oh my God. Okay. I'm running late and I'm putting on my hair extensions as I'm in the limo. And I'm like Jiminy Cricket. So I'm like rushing to get to this. Oh my God. It was outlandish. So I grabbed my shoes. And, you know, Richard, that has cancer, he's driving me. He's a driver. You know, you hear him on the show. And, yeah, he fell into cancer now. So, anyway, back to that night. So, okay. So, I'm on the red carpet with two pairs of shoes. And Joan Rivers comes out, remember, before she passed away.
I love Joan Rivers.
Love Joan Rivers. She goes, "Only tan mom." And, oh, my God.
Only tan mom. Sorry.
Yeah, everyone's like, "It's tan mom." And everyone, Seinfeld, oh, my God, Jerry Seinfeld is on the corner as well. Just everybody. Not Motley Crue. What's the name of that band?
Def Leppard?
I don't know. One of those people.
Metallica.
Boys and Rats.
Bon Jovi.
I live my life.
Oh, Bon Jovi. Yeah, it is Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi. So they're all looking at me because I was changing my shoes. I didn't care. On the red carpet. So yada. Went up there and just, it was quite amazing. Of a night.
What else did Joan Rivers say to you?
Something about, I forget at the moment.
You got fashioned police by Joan Rivers right in person. That's kind of epic.
No, I'm thinking more about Logan, that his daughter is insane. What's her name?
Logan. Oh, Michael Lohan.
Lohan, that's it.
Wait, David, talk about Patricia. You should ask her about being in rehab with Michael Lohan.
Okay. Oh, so Michael Lohan was there, not Lindsay, right? Because I thought you meant Lindsay.
No. That psycho chick was in the rehab.
Abraham. You're talking about Farrah.
Abraham. So you got tan mom, you got this whore, and I just couldn't tolerate it. I only went to my simple sessions. I didn't have to like deal with anyone at all. And I actually faked a heart attack as well. So just to get the hell out of there. I mean, the whole place was insane.
It just wasn't for you. What was this? Celebrity rehab?
Yeah.
No, it was just by chance they all wound up in rehab together.
Oh, Michael Lohan was there?
Well, he was
they gave him a check. For $250, let's get this global. Uh-oh. And he took, why not say the truth? What the heck is the difference?
Yeah.
So he doesn't even give me the change. I mean, I'm like, what the heck? Because I'm in a rehab, you know what I mean? I needed the money.
Wait, what? Who, you gave a check to Michael Lohan? Now
yeah,
I'm confused.
And he didn't give me back the proper change. Like, he didn't care. I mean, the whole thing was ridiculous. It was all set up, you know, reality nightmare.
Wow. Anyone else famous at Howard Stern's birthday that I would know? I mean, Jerry Seinfeld. No,
What?
Seinfeld was, there was somebody you said on the show, Patricia, and Gary corrected you. I think it was Seinfeld that he wasn't there or you didn't meet him or something to that effect. I think it was like, you said it, and Gary was like, no, he wasn't there, and they started laughing, but I forget who it was.
Jerry Seinfeld was there.
Maybe it was Tom Hanks. It was someone. I have to watch the replay to see who it was, but I know it was someone.
I'm picturing, like, the friends, like Courtney Cox, Jennifer, like all of his regular people.
No. There's, like, everyone's seated, and when you arrive, what have you. You walk in and there's certain people on the red carpet. So I ran into Bon Jovi and Joan Rivers, who has a mouth. She goes, "Oh, but tan mom's in the house," you know, like whatever's. And I know I say that frequently, but it's just my young kids. So, but it was just a lot of fun. I don't even know what to say. I mean,
what?
Howard. Yeah. Is the best guy, I think, for hanging in there with me throughout this whole thing. And he cares so much about me when I was in this coma and my husband, whatever, is ill, and it's a very difficult time. So,
well, to your point, right? So last year you had a health scare.
I was in a coma. It was terrible. I
mean, you collapsed. It was like cardiac arrest. You went into cardiac arrest, and your heart stopped for 6 to 8 minutes.
Yep.
And then you were in a coma. So that's a serious thing.
Totally serious.
I mean, and you actually heard from Howard during that?
They called the hospital, and Shuli, I call him McShuli, they were all calling. And yeah, it was the scariest thing. And I saw like people through this mask, and it was the most horrific experience that I don't want to know. Adam was in the mix of it all as well. But the bottom line is that they proclaimed me dead, and then I was revived. And it's something I wouldn't wish on anyone.
And we had reporters calling. So there was a whole thing with like, so when Patricia, right before she went to the hospital, she tweeted out, she was going to the hospital. I talked to Us Weekly, whatever. They did out the story. Then there was a reporter from another publication that called me to ask me, that was trying to get me to get photos of Patricia in the hospital for their story. And I said, no, we're not going to do, I'm not, unless she wants to do it, there's no way you're getting a photo. Well, this newspaper published this article then, like, kind of trashing me and saying, like, how the family all hates me, and, you know, I'm horrible because, you know, I talk to the press and the family's not happy. And I'm like, you shady POS, because this woman was calling me, asking me for information on Patricia, asking me to send her pictures. And then when I wouldn't do it, she turned around and wrote, made me look unfavorable. So that goes to show you, like, how manipulative some of these people can be, and you have to be careful what you say. But that whole thing was like just an exercise, I think, in really knowing how to deal with the press, because they are like vultures sometimes. Like, they really just like they were not good.
They're dreadful. They're dreadful people.
It will be turned. Oh, trust me. I've done interviews where it's like you talk about 99% of one thing and you say one comment about something else and it's like the headline. You're like, are you kidding me?
You learn. To the worst extreme of what you did not say.
Right.
It's escalated. Like, I said blue, but it's black, and I'm a racist. You know, they're crazy. They're crazy people.
Trust me, I've learned too. It's like, but I saw that article. So, two things. One, and I mean this seriously, when you were pronounced dead, did you see anything? Like, I mean, I'm not making a joke.
No,
like, I'm like, did you see, like, another side of the world?
It was three people. This scares the hell out of me. And when I called from the hospital to the Stern Show, I still wasn't okay. I was not okay to answer and rebuttal this question you're asking me. And, you know, you play along with Howard. You do. I don't mean that in a bad way. Just... I get a little nervous, so you play along with the game that goes on over there. So, cut to the chase is that when I saw three people, but I felt like they were going down, like they were bad people. You know what I mean? Like, there's heaven, there's hell, and there was these three people. It's not a joke, really, because I was so dehydrated and sick that I was laying there and, oh my God, it was terrible. And then after a little bit of medicine and so forth, I saw the light, and then, like, I know this sounds pretentious, but a shopping mall. So.
First of all, did you know these three people? No, you've never seen them before in your life.
Never saw them before. The creepiest. And when you, I've been through so much. I mean, I really have. And Adam knows. I know I always mention Adam, but he knows. And it's the scariest feeling. They were creeping around me and they would not let me go. And then my family showed up, my daughter and my sons. And, they're standing, I go, do you, like, I'm in a fog, like this, could you see them? You know, and it was so real for days for me, like in my head. I mean, I don't know if it's hours or minutes, you know, but wow.
Were you happy when you saw a shopping mall?
It just was the sunlight, and it sounds like stupid, but it's like an awakening of life again. Like you're going to go shopping and stuff like that. But the death part was those creepy people. You never want that. And then I pondered, like, why were they hanging around me? Because you're not going to win, you know? Like, that's really like someone bringing bad in, and then I dismissed it.
Well, do you feel like they were negative spirits, or do you feel like they were there to guide you?
Total total negative energy.
That's
and
creepy.
It totally scared the hell, you know, the heck out of me.
Wow. And then when you came out of this, you know, and eventually we're okay, like, did you have any life revelations? Like, did you go through a, like, you know, did you change anything? Were you just like, and what was the cause of all of this? Like, was there anything you now need to stop doing? Like you mentioned, Howard doesn't drink anymore. And did you have any
cocktails? I was cocktailing. Huge, going through a horrible time, and revelations, yeah. And then things that made me sick inside, meaning getting rid of, like, people that honestly weren't my friends, and just starting to live a healthier life, you know, like, yeah. But still dragged down by all the things that were going on in my life. But no, I was totally like partying because I just wasn't happy with my husband. And you can make that a blame of what I was doing, which I can say I'm blaming it. So I just turned it around. That's all you have to do. And to this moment, you know, he's really, really sick. And it's very difficult to deal with cancer.
Patricia, did you want to talk about something you were going to announce regarding that with his cancer and you with your stuff that we talked about earlier with as far as Richard? Well, to give background, David, I was talking with
you
Richard
earlier. Say it.
Oh, so Patricia was talking about how she wants to stop tanning now because of Richard's cancer.
Oh. Because of Richard's cancer. And I stopped actually tanning, believe it or not, even though I look tan. But his cancer, and I just won't go into a tanning salon anymore. I like the natural sprays that are healthy. Believe it or not, they're healthy tan sprays. And I hope he gets well. But the bottom line is, too, that I wish him well. I'm taking care of him right now because he's sick.
So you stopped tanning because he's sick, not because you got sick?
No, him.
And when did you, like, I mean, this is official. You've stopped tanning. No, you actually look less tanned than a lot of other times I've seen you.
About a month ago, a couple of weeks ago, what have you. I just decided I don't want to sit there. I don't care anymore. I'd rather naturally get tanned from golfing, planting my flowers, or whatever. The whole tan thing is really just too obsessing.
Well, that's kind of a big deal. Tan mom decides not to tan.
Yes. A huge deal. Tan mom quits tanning. That is exactly what this year is about.
I
quit my membership. I quit. Can you believe it? Oh my God, I can't believe I'm saying it.
So Patricia's, this is the whole brilliance of Free to Be Me, because now we've rebranded her as Patricia Marie. So...
yes.
We've kind of killed off Tan Mom, I anticipated this was going to happen eventually. So now that Tan Mom is kind of killed, we have Patricia Marie, like the evolved version of what Tan Mom was.
you might have to reissue the song. I mean, now that it's really No More Tan Mom.
Well, in the song she talks about, I'm not Tan Mom, and we're actually getting ready to film when we are able to, Corona lets us, we're going to be filming the Glossy music video, and we're going to really be kind of diving into that more in that music video.
Are you afraid of, like, what, I mean, look at me, I'm as pale as can be, so I'm not judging.
Being white? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm always outside, you know, I will garden and whatever. I'm so happy to get rid of, I already got rid of Tan Mom when I became Patricia Marie, and I'm happy to say this today on your show that I won't be tanning anymore. I do have tips on a healthy regime of tanning for Tan Talk, but
our show this Friday.
I'm just so not into it anymore. To keep up this tan too is exhausting. I'm bored of it. That's all.
I think there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's not like you. I mean, you've been doing it for so long.
I think you know what it is. I think it's a healthy thought because I think I was so obsessed that people wouldn't like me if I wasn't tan. That I'm healthy now, that I can just be me without this dark glow.
You can be pale like me and Adam, but you're not. Right. But you're not at the point of.
I'm not pale.
you're not as pale as I am. Let's put it that way. But you're not at the point of like wearing sunscreen. Like I bake in sunscreen, so you'll get like a natural color.
Right. But I think it's a really great thing to finally get like, because then you'll get to know me more too. So
we'll see the real Patricia Marie under the tan.
Under the tan.
And that's what we're launching. So we've been doing these stage live shows, and we have, by the time this goes live, our show will have already happened, the Tan Talk. But what we are working towards ultimately is we want to get a reality show with Patricia following herself, her family, you know, all this crazy stuff. And like, I think she's just such a character that people are gravitate towards her. And we've been talking to two big production companies. We have a lot of people interested in her show because she just is so fascinating. So I'm curious to see, or it'll be interesting to see Patricia and where she winds up in the next year. I'm predicting that she will definitely be on her own reality show, and hopefully I'll be a guest star or whatever.
And you're good with the family now, Adam, like everything is fine.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I haven't talked to, her daughter, Ashley. But you know, Patricia, you know, I've apologized and I hope they know that all her kids know that I only want the best for their mom and that, you know, I've helped her, I think, every step of the way. You know, like last year she was...
Oh, no, he always helped.
And Patricia was in like a bad way last year where she was just going through a lot moving down here. It was very like tumultuous. So, you know, I helped you. Like, remember I was driving around and we were going from like finding places to stay. I was the
oh,
one...
Oh, my God, what a nightmare.
People, it was a really trying time and... People don't know this. I want to throw this out there. I was the one that got Patricia on Cameo. Now, Patricia has made more money on Cameo than a lot, but more than it's in the six figures. Like Patricia has made a lot of money on Cameo, and I'm happy that I was able to bring that to her because that gave her, I think, did it not give you like a chance to really rebound and get yourself together and kind of get on your own, get back on your feet with it?
Yes, you did. And I didn't even know what Cameo was. And I don't look at it like an income, which it become because it's just so rich. But I don't do it for, to be honest with you, there's a lot of people that ask me inside their hearts what I ask. And that's another thing that me and Adam want to do is do like another show that talks about talking about problems and so forth.
Like counseling. Yeah.
And that, I don't just go happy birthday and sing. I talk to these people that I don't know that I became to love for like 3 minutes. So I just don't throw out a Cameo. I work hard for making people happy.
I could hear the thunder.
I mean, it's
there.
Really bad. I may lose power in a second because it's getting really bad out here.
And by the way, Adam, you got somebody else on Cameo too.
Oh, you as well. Yeah, there you go. You as well.
See, you're like rolling in it. We're like all Adam's bitches at the end of the day, just working for Adam over here.
I love it. But I don't even think I make money. I think my royalties ran out from Patricia, but like at the end of the day, I was just so happy that she had a way to make money on her own that didn't involve anyone else, you know? And that's really what it is. It was about setting her up to be self-sufficient and kind of independent. And yeah, we're going to do our songs and all this other stuff. So that's like one of the things that really upsets me more than anything else. I don't listen to trolls, but when people troll me online and they say that I'm taking advantage of Patricia, that's the thing that incenses me the most, because I'm like, they do not understand how much, and she's my friend, and I'm not saying this to make myself like, oh, I'm a great person. She's done so much for me too, and it works both ways, but I have helped her out a lot, and I think people just think that I use her, and it's so not the case. So I definitely want to make sure people know that.
The trolls are the trolls. They're the trolls. Oh my God. It is. Well, first of all, it's storming in New York too, but I could hear the thunder there worse.
I know.
What is next for the two of you?
Well, we're definitely pushing this reality show in some format, whether it's a digital series, whether it's on TV, whether it's on YouTube. We're trying to get the pieces together, and we're really looking for a solid production partner that can come in, work with us, you know, shape the show to be what it needs to be and sell it. So, you know, we're kind of focusing on, I guess, creating content and just finding the right partner. You know, if there's people out there that
yeah, there's other people out there, but I want to backtrack just for a second about this whole cameo thing.
Yeah.
Adam helped me out. Helped me out. I didn't even know what a cameo was. So just the degree of, after so many years, I've raised my price and so forth. But Adam does his own thing, and I do my own thing too. People think that, you know, we're constantly, you know, he's helped me. And I just want everyone to know that I appreciate that as much as he appreciates me. That's all.
You guys are real friends, you know? It's like, that's what
we are.
It's not about money. It's about friendship and helping each other.
Exactly.
Well, people, like a lot of people don't, you know, people always say to me, like, how are you friends with all the housewives? Like, I'm not friends with all the, it's an organic.
Now
like,
I know who you are.
Remember you and I met?
Oh my God.
I was at all your shows. You're just realizing
God,
that.
I love you to death. It took the whole segment.
You're just realizing
how much I love you.
It's the glasses, because you don't have your glasses on.
You're just realizing you met me. I love how we could talk for an hour and I could mention the word housewives, and now you know who I am.
It's Margaret Joseph.
No, I knew. No, put your glasses on.
Here they are.
Let me see.
Margaret Joseph's husband's a huge fan of yours. You know that.
I love you. You are like the nicest guy at the shows.
Thank
always.
You. Well, I
there
always.
You are.
Remember?
Okay. Well, wait. I'll beat you. Wait a second. I got a new pair, and yours are red.
I've been at your show with Mark. Oh, wow.
Mine are red. Wait.
Let's all go for it.
Stripe. Oh, my God. I love you.
But I love how you're just realizing that you know me now. Well, listen, when you and Adam are in town, like me, Margaret Josephs, Joe.
Oh, my God. We all can go out.
I can't wait for you guys to come back here. And I, like, need to come to Florida.
Yes, you do.
Now, where can we all find you online? People that are looking to book you for Cameo, tell us where we can find each of you.
Just Cameos. I actually changed it from Patricia Marie Kensel to actually Tam Mom and Howard Stern.
Yes, just said it.
Said that. I changed it. And then you could just find me with Adam. We're going to be up to no good soon. And we'll be releasing some more energy out there for everyone to love.
We're definitely check me out on Instagram at Adam Barta. And check out my YouTube, youtube.com/AdamBartaMusic, where I'm working on some really big...
Oh, wait, Rollercoaster, wait.
So I have a new web series that I am producing called Celebrity Couch Coaster. I've already filmed the first episode with my very, very huge reality star. I won't say who it is yet, but it's huge. You both know who it is. And it's a really fun show. It's basically like a show where celebrities ride roller coasters with me and I interview them, and it's green screen. So Patricia's going to be on it as well. David, we'd love to have you on it. We'd love to have any celebrities you're friends with, David. So check that out. It's coming soon.
I'm going to round everyone up. And you guys are amazing. You both need to come back on, first of all. We love you.
I love you.
Yeah.
Now that you figured it out after an hour, now you realize you love me.
Oh, my God. That's such a Howard comment.
You loved me in a different way when we first started. Now that you know that you really know
now
me.
Now I can talk too much. I see the purple velvet. I know that who the heck you are. Okay,
my purple pants.
I'm not Swift. I'm all right.
As long as you know me now, but Adam vouched for me anyway, so you know.
No, oh. I love you beginning. It doesn't matter if I totally knew you.
So we'll keep in touch. We're on our text chain. The three of us will chat.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love you both. Thank you for this. We will keep in touch. I will talk to you both soon. Thank you so much, really.
Thanks, David.
All right, I'll talk to you both later. Thank you, Patricia and Adam.
Bye, sweetheart.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me, and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.